Shall we read this evening in John's Gospel, please, chapter 14. John's Gospel in chapter 14. And we'll commence our reading in verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We trust that the Lord will indeed add his rich blessing to this reading from his precious word this evening. During the course of this week, we've been considering some of the major statements made by the Lord Jesus. Some of these brilliant, illuminating statements that he made that have eternal implications as far as the hearer is concerned. In this chapter from which we have read together this evening, we have another one of these great major statements made by the Lord Jesus. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus makes the astounding statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, the background against which this particular statement is made is this. The Lord Jesus had been talking to his disciples about heaven, otherwise called his Father's house. The Lord Jesus had been talking about the kind of people who would be there, and how they would get there. And as he spoke to them along these lines, he made the leading statement, where I'm going you all know, and you know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And this caused the Lord Jesus to make this great statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And this evening I want to look with you at these three components of this great statement. First of all, Jesus said, I am the way. I think it would be true to say that most people like to think that they'll be in heaven. Most people like to think that at the end of the day, somehow or other, everything will be balanced out, and that God will somehow or other be willing to forget everything that has taken place in their life in the way of sin and so on, or somehow or other balance it up with their good deeds and so on, and somehow or other open the door to his great heaven. We see this when we visit the funeral home. Irrespective of the kind of life that the person has lived who is now passed on, invariably we hear these words read that we've read together this evening. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And people love to think that somehow or other everything's been sorted out at the end, and they themselves or their loved ones will eventually be in the many mansions. And yet, tragically, most people are abysmally ignorant as to what's involved in getting to heaven. If you talk to people about how they hope to arrive there, they'll say things like this: well, you know, I like to think that somehow or other everything will be well. I like to think that God will be fair. That's what people say. And after all, I'm maybe not the best, but I'm not the worst, you know. And I'm not really too bad. And I'm sure that God will think kindly of me in His mercy and in His grace when it comes to the other side. You know, dear friend, that idea, that philosophy is so foreign to what God has to say about getting to heaven. And we mustn't think that God has left us without clear directions. And that idea is just not in God's book. And it's a misleading philosophy. The Bible says this: there is a way that seemeth to be right. Sounds logical. It seemeth to be right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. The prophet Isaiah wrote this: all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. And that's the problem, dear friend. We want our own way. And we're not interested in what God's way is as long as we have our own way. The prophet Isaiah says we have turned everyone to our own way. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here, He spoke about the two great mainstreams into which humanity divides itself. He spoke about a broad way and He spoke about a narrow way. And He said, as far as the broad way is concerned, many there be that go in thereat. And He says it leads to destruction. But He says, as far as the narrow way is concerned, few there be that find it, but it leads to life eternal. That's a tragic commentary on the direction of the human race, isn't it? That the many are going to destruction and the few are going to heaven. Not because God wants it that way, because people choose that way. They want their own way, you see. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. You'll notice there's a certain dogmatism about what the Lord Jesus said. He didn't use sort of soft language that indicated to His hearers that there may be some other alternate, you know. He didn't leave them with some idea that He was just an option. No, He didn't. He said, I am the way. No man comes to God except by me. There's no other way. I was going to work one morning listening to the radio. There was this philosopher on the radio and he was telling the people, he said, you know, he said, when we all eventually arrive, we'll discover that the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Christians and everybody else, we've all been climbing the same mountain. The only thing is we've been taking a different route. And we'll all laugh at each other when we get to the top of the mountain and discover that all our differences were, after all, rather in our minds. Dear friend, that's a lie. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way. And there's no room for Mohammedism or Catholicism or Protestantism or any other ism. There's no room for religion. The Lord Jesus says, I personally am the way. And we must come by Jesus Christ to God. We've been hearing that hymn quoted tonight, and I would quote it again. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er catch sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. It is sweet to know, as I onward go, that the way of the cross leads home. Dear friend, you are shut up exclusively to Jesus Christ if you're going to be in heaven. He is the way. The Lord Jesus also said, I am the truth. You know, men have been searching for truth down through the centuries. Philosopher after philosopher has searched in vain to find the very fountainhead of absolute truth. I remember having a very educated man in my house one night. And I got talking to him and he said, you know, philosophy is my great love, he said. And I had been praying before he came that somehow or other an opportunity would be given to me to talk to him about Christ. I didn't even need to try. He said, you know, a thing I've noticed. He said, I've noticed that all the great philosophers that I've read, and I read many of them, he says, all of them seem to be going somewhere and almost arriving at finding the truth. He says, but at the end of the day, they died without ever arriving. They ended up in a blind alley. I said, you know, that's amazing. I says, that's what the Bible says. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there are people today who are wandering about in the maze of human philosophy and thinking, who are trying to arrive at knowing God through the avenue of human intellect and knowledge. And you're wasting your time, dear friend, if that's what you're doing. We want to tell you that kindly tonight. You're wasting your time. You will find yourself in one blind alley after another. Perhaps entertaining yourself intellectually on the way, but eventually, at the end of the road, to find that you will never ever arrive. That you will never reach God, that you will never reach heaven. That great intellectual, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest minds that this world has ever known, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are darkness to him. Are you in the dark, dear friend, spiritually? Do you find spiritual things a conundrum? Do you find the Bible a mystery? Do you find Christians a complete enigma? It's because, dear friend, you're in the dark, spiritually speaking. The natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are darkness to him. He'll never arrive at the truth. But you know, Jesus Christ is the truth. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. That's what the Bible says. And if you want to come to God, dear friend, you have to come to the very fountainhead of truth itself, and that is Christ. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. I've seen intellectual struggle in their attempt to arrive at God. I had a neighbour in Scotland for over a year. I spent time talking to him about the most obscure philosophies about energy in the universe and entropy and enthalpy and so on. And oh my, I tell you. And at the end of a year, he was no further forward than when he started. And you know what got to him? He went to a meeting one night just like this, and there was an old-fashioned preacher on the platform who didn't know anything. I don't think he would even have heard the word enthalpy or entropy. who knew nothing about the concept of energy in the universe, but he knew that men were sinners and they were going to hell. And I tell you, that broke that intellectual man down. And we had the joy of seeing him saved that night. Not because he had reasoned his way to God, but because he had admitted he was a sinner and needed to come to Christ. Finally, Jesus said, I am the life. You know, when he says this, he's indicating that there's a need for life. He's implying that there's a condition of death somewhere. And indeed, as we read through our Bibles, we discover that it describes people who aren't saved, who haven't trusted Christ, as being dead in trespasses and in sins. Dead. Dear friend, if you're not a believer, you're dead. Have you ever wondered why you can't relate to God? Have you ever wondered why you can't communicate with God? Have you ever wondered why you can't understand this book? It's because spiritually you are dead. You're dead in trespasses and in sins. And a person who's dead doesn't need reformation, you know, nor education, nor religion. A person who's dead needs life. And we want to tell you, dear friend, that Jesus is the life. And we want to tell you that you can obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We were quoting another of these great statements the other night there, when the Lord Jesus said, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, dear friend, if you pass away from this world without this new life, you will remain eternally one of the dead. You will stand before God's great throne as one of the dead, and will find yourself assigned to the lake of fire, which is the second death. Physical death is only phase one. Absolute estrangement and spiritual isolation from God in the torments of the lake of fire is phase two, the second death. Dear friend, why should it be that way, you know? It doesn't need to be that way. Jesus says, tonight I am the life. And do you know why he can give you life? It's because he died. He who did not deserve to die, died that we who deserve to die might have life. And Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And tonight he offers you life because he died on your account. Dear friend, tonight, are you seeking the way? Are you lost? Jesus is the way. Are you searching for reality and truth? Jesus is the truth. Are you tonight conscious of your deadness before God? Are you conscious that you're needing divine life? Listen, Jesus said, I am the life. Come to him, dear friend, and find the way, the truth, and the life. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus has made it abundantly plain. We thank thee we don't need to wonder anymore about the way back to God. It is only and exclusively through Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray that if there's someone here tonight, and we believe there are people here tonight, who have not yet come to Jesus as the way, that someone might come to him tonight, and as the hymn writer says, find in thee my all in all. And we would pray, our Father, for salvation at the end of this meeting. May the hush of eternity cover our gathering. May the Holy Spirit work with intensity in our midst. May the forces of evil who are presently attacking be thwarted and defeated. May there be victory through Christ tonight in this building. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Could we take time to sing?